and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. President Trump wants to wait before deciding whether to join Israel in military action against Iran. Press Secretary Caroline Leavitt.
The president is saying that he will make a decision whether or not to go within the next 2 weeks. It's very clear and direct.
Heavy rain and flooding and a rock slide closed a section of a major highway near the border between Tennessee and North Carolina today.
The traffic stopped in front of us. It was still raining a good bit, so we waited a little bit till it stopped raining and then people started getting out and looking down here and realizing there's cars down here in trouble.
Parts of Interstate 40 were just opened in March after damage from Hurricane Helene. Meteorologist David Parkinson says storms are impacting millions of Americans.
Severe weather is going to be hitting the Northeast Corridor all the way up and down I-95 from Raleigh up through New England.
And extreme heat will be impacting much of the nation in the days ahead. CBS News Brief, I'm Cammy McCormick.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Today is Juneteenth. Savannah Tome Olson explains the significance of the holiday.
While the Emancipation Proclamation was signed in 1863, it took 2 years to get the news to enslaved people in Confederate states. That news finally came to Texas on June 19, 1865, telling the last enslaved people in the country they were free. Governor Tony Evers raised the Juneteenth flag at the state capitol yesterday.
For 160 years, this day has been recognized across the nation to celebrate the true end of slavery in the United States. And in 1987, to bring this back home to Wisconsin, State Senator Spencer Coggs and Representative Marsha Coggs proposed the first legislation to recognize Juneteenth in Wisconsin. Unfortunately, it took us another 2 decades to get it right.
Wisconsin started marking Juneteenth in 2009. This is the 6th year in a row the flag has flown at the state capitol building. For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tome Olson.
The humidity is about to spike, with highs in the 90s forecasted statewide over the weekend. Meteorologist Brittany Merlot says expect triple digits.
Heat indices will feel like nearly 100 degrees. Now is the time to start to hydrate. Make sure you stay cool, because heat-related illnesses can sneak up on you fast. If you start to get dizzy, slurred speech, stop sweating, seeing stars, the next thing is you could throw up, black out, or wind up in the ER.
The Portage County Sheriff's Office is reminding residents to stay safe during extreme heat conditions, stay hydrated, and pace yourself. If you don't have air conditioning at home, you can find cooling centers on city and county websites. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
The Brewers win. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports Baseball. A great day today at Wrigley Field, where the wind was blowing out and the Brewers taking advantage. An 8-7 win from Milwaukee over the Cubs at the friendly confines. 3 home runs today by the crew. Rhys Hoskins, Caleb Durbin, and Isaac Collins getting his 4th home run of the season. Drama in the 9th. Closer Trevor McGill on the mound and some very poor calls on some pitches that should have been called strikes. Pat Murphy visibly upset from the dugout. McGill managed to get out of the inning with one strikeout and getting the Cubs' Seiya Suzuki to hit into a double play. Trevor McGill with his 16th save of the season. Pat Murphy after the win.
Great opportunity for our young guys to then face the great Cubs team coming back and breathing down our necks right to the very end. So it gets pretty emotional.
What did you think of the way Trevor specifically responded?
I thought Trevor's been great, man. This guy's underrated. Trevor's been great.
Up next, the Brewers head to Minnesota for a weekend series against the Twins. With Sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy tonight, isolated storms around that could have pockets of heavy rainfall. Lows in the low 60s. For tomorrow, turning partly sunny, warmer and muggy, with highs in the low 80s. Heat for the weekend, mid-90s, breezy and sunny.
It's 82 right now.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
The Joint Finance Committee was leaked that they intend to cut $87 million from the UW system budget. And so we put this out on our socials last night, and today the Joint Finance Committee decided to pull that from the agenda. Because apparently, from what I'm told, Republican legislators got a lot of calls. When the truth is disseminated and people react, results can happen.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Todd Allbaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. We'll continue to follow the happenings in the news. And our old friend Brady Ewing, former Badger and NFL player, will be here to discuss NIL. Is it making people soft? Join us.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4. You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
UGBW.
Broadcasting live statewide from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightline with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. Whatever gets you through the night, it's all right, it's all right. And now, a guy who binge-watches TV for a living but doesn't get paid, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome to Nightlight. I am Pete Schwab. It is great to have you with me on this Thursday. We finally have a nice day outside, at least here in Northeast Wisconsin, although there's always the imminent threat of rain. But for now, it is gorgeous. There are people outside probably not listening to the radio. I don't like that, but it is nice to see people out and about celebrating Juneteenth here in Green Bay. Lots of people out celebrating today. That's exciting. Happy Juneteenth. And lots of people eating gelato. So it is summer is in full swing, it looks like, finally. And this show is in full swing. We have a great one tonight, folks. I am excited because we are going, it's Thursday, which means we're doing the popcorn pick of the week. And that's always fun. We'll do that at 6:35 with our guest who will be in studio, J.B. Thompson. He is a film producer and a kind of mover and a shaker. I just call him the guy behind the guy behind the guy. He will be here at 6:35 to make the popcorn pick of the week. That's always fun. We'll have a new movie that we can check out. Maybe one you haven't seen. And if we have a good trend going here where the guests the last few weeks have really brought some kind of obscure movies to the popcorn pick of the week, which is really fun. But also it's nice when people pick one that we just haven't seen in a while that we really like. So we'll do that at 6:35 like we do every Thursday night here at Nightlight. It's the popcorn pick of the week. And then in the second hour, I'll be joined by Chelsea Myris. And she is from the Old World Wisconsin Museum. And we're going to have a lot of fun talking to Chelsea. They have some great summer events coming up. We'll discuss all of them, the kind of stuff they have for kids, a midsummer extravaganza, a 4th of July celebration that they'll have down there. We've talked about the Old World Wisconsin Museum a few times on the show, and it's always fun, and it's just a very special place. So that is in hour number two. We have a great question of the night, which we will get to, and beg for your enjoyment and your participation in the show, ladies and gentlemen. And I have to make a special announcement tonight. Conrad is not here. So he's fine. There's no other NFL draft or anything like that he has to go to. He is just, he's got the night off, and Amanda Nimmer, kind of the all-purpose producer here, social media expert, the award-winning Amanda Nimmer, welcome.
Can we say award-winning when it's third place?
It's still an award, right?
Guess.
I didn't even get a piece of paper. I've been shut out of the Oscars for 30 years now. I'm not getting, no, that's very exciting. Of course it's noteworthy.
All right. I'll take it.
Have you been able to parlay that in any way?
No.
Social media expertise?
No, not really.
Oh, man.
No.
I'm going to give you $20 just because I'm happy for you.
Yeah, I'm cool with that. Yeah. I'll take it.
Technically, that's monetizing it. So who wouldn't take $20? $20 is $20. So Amanda is sitting in for Conrad tonight, and Conrad is, and it's because I still don't even know really what's going on. I know he's doing the morning show.
He's correct? Doing the morning show because I can't do the morning show. You know, right. I got the two kids. I got my other half who works third shift, who gets done at 6 a.m., which is when that show starts.
Yeah, right.
So, you know, driving up 40 minutes from Manitowoc, it just doesn't work out. So he's been doing mornings this week. He'll be back.
He will be back. They're shipping me off to Madison for a couple days. It's just chaos. And it's all because Todd Michaels thinks he needs a vacation.
Thanks. Oh, my God. That poor man needed more than a vacation. He needs a spa day on an isolated island far away from any type of online communication system.
Yeah. I mean, that's not going to happen because I thought he was off this week. And then the first day he's supposed to be on vacation, I was telling this to Conrad the other night. We're getting texts and Todd's in the group chat. I'm like, wait a minute.
Do you know how often we're like, stop it.
I know.
Stop it. Go away. Stop. And he's like, no, guys, it's fine. We're like, no, it's not. Go away. And
part of it's for selfish reasons, because I feel like if the boss is on vacation, go be on vacation so we can have, you know, we can have the run of the place.
Yeah, so we can goof
party
off.
Party down. Exactly.
You know, at my old radio station, when the boss was on vacation, we used to take random office supplies and we would use one of the wheelie chairs and bowl ourselves down the hallway to hit them. We had two teams. That's what we did when he was on vacation.
Did you grow up? Was your previous work experience on the show The Office or something? That sounds like right out of a sitcom there.
No, it wasn't The Office.
No, you really did that.
But we did fun stuff like that, you know? You got to leave a few minutes early and
it's kind of weird here though, because by the time I get here and Con is here, it's just the two of us mostly. Occasionally the cleaning people come in or Eliza will be here or whatever, but it's pretty chill. We can't really play pranks on each other.
We could.
Yeah. I mean, I could go put a tack on someone's chair, but I wouldn't be here to enjoy it the next morning.
And
I wouldn't do that anyway. I draw the line at physical harm. Amanda Nimmer, thank you very much. Filling in for the kid, Conrad Krieger, who is off tonight because he's producing Mino and the Mayor. Are they being nice to him?
I don't know.
They still
I think
call him
so.
Convoy?
I mean, if they remember his name at all.
He's just that guy.
No, that's just them. They don't do names.
Just whatever's easiest.
I mean, you got Jim in the morning who can't say Frank Hermans.
He calls can't?
No, he calls him Frank Hermas. And we're like,
oh,
Jim.
Dear. That's an easy one.
I know.
Schwabba would kill him. He could never say Schwabba. That's hilarious. Driving down, and it's a shame Todd is on vacation because he loves my driving stories. Today I had a doozy, and this is the second time this has happened to me. Not only were there two cars driving in sync, blocking both lanes for about 5 miles, going low to mid-60s, which is not awful. It's better than 40s, but it's still like, let's go. I got a life to lead here. Two pickup trucks talking to each other through the window. The driver and the passenger of the other side are having a conversation.
How fast were they going, though?
Like low 60s.
Oh, no.
And occasionally the trucks would kind of like the driver of one truck was getting in on a two and they were kind of getting closer. It was very dangerous. And they looked like idiots. And I gave the tap. I'm not going to lay on the horn because I don't want... I've already been in a skirmish on the road about 25 years ago and I never want that to happen again. But I gave the toot. The guy goes like this with his finger. He puts his finger up without even looking at me like, we're just having a thing here.
Oh, like an Archer. Like, have you watched Archer?
No, I haven't.
Oh, man. Someone on here, please tell me you've watched Archer.
I gotta write that down. Because, no, you're like the 10th person since I've been doing this show.
But that's his thing. Like, someone will be like trying to say something important and he'll just hold his finger
out.
Won't
look at them.
Just
yeah.
Pulls the finger out, continuing to drink a drink or something. Just
that's exactly what this was.
Yes.
It was like, hey, we're doing a thing here. We're in the middle of something. Okay, but you're on the interstate. Pack it up, wrap it up, and move. And they finally did. But then when I was leaving Marinette, this truck is in front of me about 50 yards, keeps veering over like three times. One time it got onto the shoulder where the grass, past the gravel where the grass starts. And I got my phone ready to call 911. I didn't want to pass him because he's all over the place. That drives me crazy, too. And you don't know if someone's drunk.
I've had to call those in.
Oh, I have too. Believe me. If something flies off a car or they're all over the road. This guy kept veering, like maybe he had a kink in his neck or something, because he kept veering to the left.
I mean, it could be a situation like my car. So it's a Kia and it has some issue that can't be fixed. No one can figure it out. But like when you let go of the steering wheel, you know, normal cars will just go straight.
Yeah.
Mine goes right.
You need an alignment adjustment.
No, we checked. It's not an alignment. They can't figure it out.
How do they not figure that out?
I don't know, but it drives me nuts. So it could have been a situation like that. Or what I experience coming up here in the mornings is people falling asleep while driving. I had to like follow a Minnesota car for like a few miles because A, I didn't want to pass him, and B, I didn't want him to hit someone else.
Right.
So I'm like on the phone with the, you know, non-emergency line. They called me back and they're like, yeah, he just drove all the way from Minnesota overnight and he was just falling asleep. He pulled over to nap.
They told you that?
Yep.
So somebody else had called that in too, obviously.
Someone must have.
Here's what's weird. I've called that non-emergency line at times, and that's like waiting for customer service with like Verizon. Like, okay, this is an emergency, but I have other things to do with my day. Like, you almost have to call 911. And that's when I started calling 911. I'm like, you know, they're driving weapons, kind of. This is an issue. Get this person off the road. But then I thought it was probably texting, because that's just as dangerous as,
oh, 100%.
As boozing it up, you know? I mean, listen, I'll have a couple cocktails in the car on the way down, but I know when to cap it. I know what my limit is. You know what I'm saying, Amanda? There is a laugh. See, last time we did this, you kind of did this thing where you laughed and you put your hand over your mouth. I'm like, no, that's okay. You can laugh.
I'm used to I'm used to being on air doing the show myself, like with the board and everything. That's how I was taught.
Oh, you're all and, purpose. Wow.
Old school.
That is. Wow.
So when I would laugh, I always, it's just habit. Especially when you're talking with someone else, yeah. You just have to like pull away, hide it from the mic.
Well, that kills the whole show. You have to laugh. All right. Hey, I think it's time for our question of the night. Do you have the thing for the... I just realized you might not have the intro. That's what I lead into. I asked you about the popcorn pick, but I forgot to ask you about the question of the night. That's okay.
It's okay. We don't have see to if it's it. Labeled in here.
See if you have it. I'll try to kill time. All right. Right now, I'm juggling folks because I'm on the radio, so they don't know. Yeah, go ahead. Question.
Let's talk about the question.
Okay. Question.
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 Pregunta.
Question.
Question.
Okay, I have a question.
Questions.
This question.
Domanda.
Question.
Question.
Questions.
Oh, yeah. This is a good one, folks. Who is your favorite retired athlete? No one playing currently. I guess you could say old school from the days of yore, whatever. Who is your favorite retired athlete? That includes deceased. I'm going to go right now. I'm going to say, I'm sorry, Packer fans, but I have to say this. But I think Packer fans like him too. Walter Payton is my favorite retired athlete. And here's the thing. Choose carefully. It doesn't matter who you pick. But I feel like in this day and age, the stories you hear about athletes from 20 and 30 years ago, before social media, you don't know any of their skeletons or demons. Like, I've heard a lot of stories about other athletic heroes I've had, but Walter Payton was from my childhood, 70s and 80s, and just loved him. Loved him on TV. He was a happy guy. He was always smiling, playing the drums. Just seemed like a really cool dude, to the point where I used to have, as a kid, I'd have dreams about getting to hang out with him. So that's mine, Walter Payton. Who is your favorite retired athlete? And they could be deceased, as Walter Payton is. We've got some good answers already on social media. We'll read those, but let us know. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. And you can text us on the app, or if you're watching on the stream, you can leave a comment there at YouTube, Facebook, or what am I missing, Amanda? YouTube, Facebook.
Twitter.
Oh, Twix. Yeah. Twixter. Twitter, yeah.
Sorry, I won't ever call it the other thing. It's Twitter.
It's hard to do. And I heard these guys talking the other night, like, what do you do? Like, it made sense when it was Twitter, because it's like, you tweet, you send a tweet. What do you do on X? Do you X? I'm sending an X. That makes no sense. It's not catchy.
I would expect an X.
It's not clever, yeah. We've already done that. If you're there, give us a like or a follow, if you don't mind. Always fun to get those for Nightlight. And we will read your text on the radio. We've got a great show, as I mentioned. I got to check out Archer. Yeah, I've heard that from several people.
Oh, you won't regret it. It is so good. And if you enjoy dark humor, it's just the perfect place to be.
Absolutely love dark humor.
We're talking, it's the popcorn pick of the week, folks. There is a new 28 days is opening. 28 years later is opening this weekend. Oh, I'm close. We're out of time, aren't we? But we're coming right back. And we'll read your text. It's Pete Schwab and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to Rafters Baseball here on WFHR, brought to you by 8th Street Auto, Econ Electric Inc., Party Envy, Johnson & Sons Chrysler Jeep, Comfort Air Heating, Cooling, Fireplaces, McCain, Stevens Point Brewery, Delta Dental, Ho-Chunk Gaming Nakusa, Gamber Johnson, Mid-State Technical College, Skyward, Solaris, Aspirus Health, and the Food and Farm Exploration Center. Listen to Rafters Baseball here on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM WFHR, and streaming on the Civic Media app.
Let's get back to the game here on WFHR.
And hello and welcome in to the Wisconsin Rapids Rafters pregame show here on WFHR. I'm Austin Thomas, your radio broadcaster for today, tomorrow, and the season. And glad to have you along with us as the Rafters have a big one coming up in just about 15 minutes. First pitch going to be on the way here from Warner Park as the Rafters have traveled to the Duck Pond to take on the Madison Mallards. The Mallards, they currently sit atop the Great Lakes West, and the Rafters right now, they're hoping to improve their spot in the standings. However, they sit 4.5 games behind Fond du Lac right now, so they need to start putting some wins together. And it could start right here, but it's going to be tough to do so against a tough Mallards team. I mean, they have been good all season long, and the statistics really back that up. One of the best offenses, but not just that, one of the best pitching staffs in the Northwoods League. However, yesterday, it was a tale of both teams' pitching staffs. The Rafters pitching really lights out yesterday at Witter Field, although it wasn't enough to get the win. They fell 3-1 as the Rafters would try and mount a comeback in the ninth inning, but they left the tying runner at the plate. And that's the way that the game ended. But Seth Spencer had a beautiful game. He went 5 2/3 innings, allowing just 2 runs on 6 hits, no walks from him as well. There was just 1 walk from the entire Rafters pitching staff, and it might have been one of the most controlled pitching outings from the entire Rafters team that we've seen all season long. And even still, it wasn't enough to go up against the Mallards, who saw just a phenomenal start from Michael Yeager. He went 5 innings of no-hit ball before he turned it over to the bullpen, and they were able to shut down the Rafters for another 4 innings, only allowing the 1 run in the ninth inning. Today, the Rafters hoping to turn it around. It's going to be Anthony Mateo against Tyler Guerin on the pitching matchup today. Guerin on the mound for the Mallards. Mateo for the Rafters. He got back into his flow of things a couple days ago, back when he made his return from injury, and it was a pretty good start for him. He allowed just 1 earned run over 3 innings. However, the errors really built up that pitch count, and he had to be pulled after those 3 innings. He allowed 3 unearned runs in a game that was really told by the total number of errors that the Rafters made in that game. Hoping for a better defensive outing today here at Warner Park, but we'll have to wait and see. Pre-game interview coming up. That is with the voice of the Madison Mallards, Ian Paprocki, a good friend of mine, and glad to have him joining us for the pregame show. That's coming up in just a bit of time here, as he'll bring us some insight as to what he's seeing from the Mallards all season long. That and starting lineups afterwards comes up next here on WFHR Wisconsin Rapids.
School sports are played by humans, coached by humans, and officiated by humans. So the next time you're sitting in the stands at a school athletic event, please remember this and maintain your humanity, especially when it comes to judging and critiquing athletes, coaches, and officials. Please show your fellow human some respect. They'll appreciate your empathy.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when.
Don't find yourself saying,
"I'll trust water bottles and a flashlight to save the day, but I'll be proved wrong."
With a tornado approaching, I'll realize that I lack a wheelchair-accessible shelter.
When the floodwaters rise, I'll be up in the attic with 20 cans of beans. It's a recipe for disaster.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
I'm the threat that's already inside the house. In the closet, under the bed, in the car. But I don't want your money or your TV. I can't be scared away or negotiated with. I'm patient and quiet. I don't sleep. You can't call the cops on me. You can't even see me. I'm the threat of family fire. And as long as your guns aren't stored securely, I'll be there. Protect your family. Secure all your guns. Learn how to make your home safer at endfamilyfire.org. That's endfamilyfire.org. A public service announcement brought to you by Brady and the Ad Council.
Hello and welcome back into the Wisconsin Rapids Rafters pregame show here on WFHR. I'm Austin Thomas, and joining me is a little bit of a different one today. We have the broadcaster for the Madison Mallards, Ian Paprocki, joining us. And Ian's a good friend of mine from back at the University of Missouri. But you've been in the Northwoods League for a couple of years here, and I figure, you know, a lot of times we talk about the Rafters, but I think it's a good idea to get a look at the other team, you know, get a little bit of insight. And Ian, you have had plenty of opportunities to take a look at this Mallard squad, and they're really good. You want to go ahead and give us a breakdown of kind of, you know, what you've seen throughout the season and what are some of the storylines we're watching for?
Yeah, I think it starts with the pitching for sure. You know, the second best team ERA in the Northwoods League. Starting pitching has been great. Tyler Guerin's on the bump tonight. He's been dominant. He struck out 9 hitters last time out, 5 scoreless innings. He's been great. Obviously, Michael Yeager with a great outing last night up in Wisconsin Rapids. And, you know, Mason Buss, Isaac Milburn went 8 innings on Sunday against Lakeshore. So it's like, I mean, there's so many contributions in the starting pitching staff and the bullpen. I mean, the bullpen ERA is even lower than the starting pitcher's ERA, surprisingly. So I think that's kind of a stark difference from last year, which the offense really carried that team last year. But the offense this year is good, too. You got a couple of guys that are really heating up with Mikey Bell, the West Coast Conference Player of the Year with Gonzaga this spring. He's had a great first week. Carson Hansen's been seeing the ball really well. He's from the University of Kentucky. And then you've got some veterans on this team, too, with Liam Moreno and Davis Hamilton, who have been here for Hamilton's in his fourth year, Moreno in his fifth. So, you know, a lot of talent on the team. And then I think when you look at the manager and Donnie Scott, a guy who's won a Northwoods League championship before and has been here for 13 years, it's a recipe for success. And so it's been fun to watch. And I think there's still kind of getting into a rhythm, and you know, a lot of new guys still coming in, and so it'll be fun to watch this series for sure.
You say kind of getting into a rhythm, but you guys have one of the best records in the entire Northwoods League right now, and you know, you're atop the Great Lakes West. I mean, what is kind of the feeling when you've been talking to some of the guys? You know, how excited are they with the way that things have been rolling along so far?
They're super excited, and I think that, you know, everybody is really enjoyed playing in Madison and playing in this ballpark. You know, a lot of fans come out to these games in the state capitol. And so when I talk to the guys, it's always like, yeah, I love, you know, being with these guys and getting to play under Donnie Scott. But it's also like, man, I love playing this atmosphere. And I get fired up. And I was talking to Nate Voss earlier in the week about, you know, his success this season. He's tied for the team lead and runs batted in right now. And he basically was just like, yeah, I'm just being loose and having fun. Like, I'm just enjoying myself. Like, it's summer ball. Like, you know, I kind of get that feel that these guys are, you know, they're locked in, obviously, and they want to win, because I think that culture has been created here in Madison. But it's also just a bunch of kids having fun from what I've seen up here and from what I get talking to these guys and kind of just seeing them carry themselves out during BP and stuff. So, yeah, it's been great. I think everyone's really enjoyed the season so far.
Yeah, it allows you to play a lot looser out there when, you know, the vibes are high. The Rafters trying to, you know, snap out of this losing streak right now and get back in the win column. And they've got a lot of things going their direction, but sometimes, you know, you just don't get the wins to go your way. And obviously Madison's had a couple of those games go their way. You know, despite the stats all showing up at the, you know, the top of the Northwoods League, you still have lost games.
Well, the crazy thing is the Mallards are 0-4 in one-run games. And so if you reverse all of those results, if you reverse the one-run games to go Madison's way, I think you're looking at 18-3 this season. And so, you know, obviously they've had a lot of success, but there are some close games that haven't gone their way, too. So it's, you know, it's pretty crazy.
Well, it's kind of the opposite way for the Rafters. You look back at their season, and the last 8 games that have come down to the last at-bat, they've lost all 8 of them. And so you flip those around, and all of a sudden, hey, Rafters have 8 more wins than they do right now, and you're looking at one of the better teams in the Great Lakes West. So it seems like a little bit of a different when it comes to the luck of the draw for these two teams. When you're looking at the matchup here, obviously we got a shot at them last night, both the teams. It was Madison who came on top with the dominant pitching. But, you know, you're looking at specific matchups for this game. As you mentioned, Guerin, just a great pitcher out there, and he's been having a stellar start to the season. You know, what are you looking at on the Rafters side of things?
Yeah, obviously Noah Ruiz, I think, is the main guy there with his 30 runs driven in, leading the whole Northwoods League. He's been incredible this season. So I think that, you know, when I look at Wisconsin Rapids, and obviously I haven't called a game yet for them this year, but I think he's kind of the anchor of that lineup. And they're going to have to try to get on Guerin early. I think the biggest thing with Guerin was the first time through the order against Royal Oak was really dominant. Struck out like 7 out of the first 9 hitters. Second, third time around, started to lose command a little bit. So I think it's really trying to, you know, not wait till that second or third time around, right? Try to jump on him that first time through the order. I think that'll be key.
Well, obviously great talking to you as always. This was Ian Paprocki once again, but that's kind of all the questions that I've got game-wise. Anything else you want to add real quick? You know, how's the season been going for you personally on the broadcast side?
It's been great, yeah. It's been a lot of fun. You mentioned earlier, I think it's my second year here in Madison, and it's amazing getting to come here and broadcast every day in this ballpark, and just in the Northwoods League. It's so much fun. It's my dream job, and so I'm happy to be here, and I'm looking forward to the rest of the summer. I think it's going to be a really good time, and yeah, happy to have you here as well. It's pretty cool to have two Mizzou guys up here in this press box calling the same game for opposing teams. So it's awesome.
All right, well, I hope you're a little bit disappointed tonight at the result of the game.
All right, fair enough.
All right, that's going to do it for our pregame interview here on the Wisconsin Rapids Rafters pregame show. Once more, it was Ian Paprocki, broadcaster for the Madison Mallards. Quick break, and when we come back, more on the Rafters pregame here on WFHR Wisconsin Rapids.
Find your perfect fit at Mid-State Technical College. You wear many hats. Family, friends, hobbies, career, maybe more. Let Mid-State make finding your career hat easier with in-demand programs and certificates, flexible class scheduling, and unmatched support for your success. Even transfer your credits to a 4-year university. Mid-State is here to help you find your perfect fit and make time for it all. Learn more at mstc.edu/perfectfit.
I love playing sports, especially for my school. And that's because school sports are special. It's where it's safe to fail. It's where we're taught resilience, where our fear becomes confidence. It's where we learn to get back up after every fall. School sports are where 7.8 million students go from I can't to I can.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Summer is here, and construction zones are everywhere. With crews working diligently, it's crucial to stay vigilant for nails and screws on the road. After all, a flat tire can quickly derail your day. If you discover a nail or screw in your tire, head straight to 8th Street Auto. Their expert team will not only assess your tire, but also conduct a thorough inspection of your vehicle to help prevent future issues. Trust the certified professionals at 8th Street Auto to ensure your vehicle is in top shape so you can hit the road confidently and fully prepared for your next adventure.
From newspaper to radio to magazine to podcast, the way we get our information has grown, and now so has Midday Magazine. Our longtime beloved show has grown to become the Rapids Report. Now exclusively available online, listen at 4 p.m. Monday through Friday, where it's streaming at WFHR.com. Catch up on previous episodes and spread the word. Midday Magazine is now the Rapids Report, streaming weekdays at 4 at WFHR.com and wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, let's get back to exciting Rafters baseball here on WFHR.
Game time just a minute away here on WFHR Wisconsin Rapids. Thanks for tuning in to the Rafters pregame show as we welcome you back into Warner Park here from Madison, Wisconsin, as the Rafters looking to take on the Madison Mallards and get back in the win column. And for this one, we'll take a look at the starting lineups. First off, with the Mallards, they're going to be led off by Jimmy Anderson at shortstop, Liam Moreno in left field. He bats second. Batting third, Mikey Bell at third base. Batting fourth, Carson Hansen in right field. Batting fifth, Davis Hamilton at DH. Batting sixth, Nate Voss behind the plate. Batting seventh, Cole Kosciuszko at first. Batting eighth, Brock Lulewicz at second base. And batting ninth, Noah Sheffield in center field. The pitcher for the Mallards is Tyler Guerin. For the Rafters, it's Anthony Mateo. Mason Onyade leads off for the Rafters. Onyade, Miro, Zacher, Parker, Madunyo, Akko, Guerrero, Kobayashi, and Clayton. That is the order for the Rafters as Mason Onyade steps into the batter's box. First pitch is a little on the upper part of the strike zone to bring it to an 0-1 count. So on the way, 6:35 first pitch here from Madison, and it's a beautiful 79-degree day as the 0-1 count misses a little bit outside to bring it 1-1. Onyade, Miro, and Zacher are due up here in the top of the first inning for the Rafters. It's the 1-2-3 batters to get them started. Onyade, left-handed hitting second baseman. This pitch misses high for ball number two, and it rolls to a 2-1 count. And Onyade, just a real on-base machine for the Rafters. He has been great all season at getting on. However, went a little bit cold yesterday as the 2-1 count is hit high in the air towards left field on the run out there. The left fielder under it as Moreno makes the catch for out number one. One up, one down for Tyler Guerin, who is, man, he has been great this season for the Mallards and a real reason why they've been able to win so many games. He's got a 3-0 record already, and as a starter for this team, I mean, there's not much that you can do against him, but this Mallards team has plenty of great starters. Guerin, just one earned run over 15 and a third innings as the first pitch to Gunnar Miro misses inside for ball number one. 0-0 in the top of the first inning. Bases are empty with one out and a 1-0 count to the right-handed hitting center fielder for the Rafters. It's a righty-righty matchup. The 1-0 count misses well outside and gets away from Nate Voss, who's behind the plate, as it rolls 2-0. And taking a look at the defensive alignment for the Mallards. On the mound, it's Tyler Guerin. Behind the plate, it's Nate Voss. Looking at the infield at first base, Cole Kosciuszko. Second, Lulewicz. Third, Bell. And shortstop, Anderson. The 2-0 count is a big swing and a miss from Miro. Brings it 2-1. This is the same count that Onyade saw when he put one into play. And the Rafters, they were hitless until the sixth inning yesterday, going up against Michael Yeager. And this one over to shortstop, picked up 6-3. It's right on the money in time for strike and out number two. Brings up Ashton Zacher to the plate with two outs and the bases empty in the top of the first inning. Rafters still looking for that first run, trying to be the first on the board without giving the Mallards a chance, but Tyler Guerin off to a hot start. He's a right-handed hurler from the University of Iowa, just a freshman there, but he pitched for the Mallards a bit last season, went 10 innings, allowed four runs. As Ashton Zacher at the plate fouls the first pitch off to bring it 0-1. Zacher, the left-handed hitting catcher for the Rafters from the College of Southern Nevada, has the bases empty with two outs in the top of the first. 0-1 count on the way. It misses outside and brings it to a 1-1 count. And a little deeper dive with Guerin. I mean, he's gone five innings in all three of his starts so far. Five innings, five and a third, and five innings his last time up. This pitch a little outside. The count moves to 2-1. And on the season, just six hits allowed over 15 and a third innings for Guerin. Another pitch misses away as it goes to a 3-1 count for Ashton Zacher. On deck, Eric Parker for the Rafters. Hoping to see him step into the batter's box, but Zacher, a 3-1 count. Make it 4-1 as he watches a pitch miss outside for ball number 4. And he is the first base runner for the Rafters here in the top of the first inning. Eric Parker now into the batter's box, the cleanup batter for the Rafters. And Parker from the University of Georgia, the right-handed hitting shortstop. It's a righty-righty matchup with the runner on first base and two outs. Still knotted at zero in the top of the first. It was a flyout from Mason Onyade and a 6-3 ground out from Gunnar Myro to start the game before we just saw the walk from Ashton Zacher. Guerin trying to work a scoreless first inning, gets a swing and a miss from Eric Parker to bring the count 0-1. Parker enters this at-bat after a relatively strong start to the season from the plate. Adding 261, but it's really been that on base. 528 as the check swing here. He did go. Makes it an 0-2 count. It was a pitch on the lower outside edge and would have missed, but Parker just went around on the swing. So an 0-2 count with two outs and the runner on first. You're in the top of the first. Pitch is a little high to bring it 1-2, and that's a tough one to hold off on. A lot of times you're going to see a high pitch like that and think that's free money. But Eric Parker holding off on it. He stays alive with a 1-2 count. This time it's hit over to third base, a grounder picked up, the throw across the diamond. It's a little low, but picked up by the first baseman in time for the 5-3 put out, and that does it for the first inning. So no runs on no hits, no errors, one left on base. As we head to the bottom of the first, it's still tied 0-0. The Mallards get their first look at offense when we come back here on WFHR Wisconsin Rapids.
You're listening to Rafters Baseball here on WFHR, brought to you by 8th Street Auto, Econ Electric Inc., Party Envy, Johnson & Sons Chrysler Jeep, Comfort Air Heating, Cooling, Fireplaces, McCain, Stevens Point Brewery, Delta Dental, Ho-Chunk Gaming Nakusa, Gamber Johnson, Midstate Technical College, Skyward, Solaris, Aspirus Health, and the Food and Farm Exploration Center. Listen to Rafters Baseball here on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM WFHR, and streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is Beth, host of The Kitchen's Open. Have you ever found yourself asking,
what's a good recipe for cookies my kids will love?
How do I avoid giving my guests food poisoning?
How would a restaurant chef prepare this meal?
If so, then tune into The Kitchen's Open, the show within the morning show each Monday morning at the start of the 10 o'clock hour. I'll tackle topics, teach techniques, or tell you what to do or not to do when it comes to cooking or the kitchen. I'll also bring you interviews with local chefs and restaurant owners. The Kitchen's Open. We'll tell you something good.
Join the conversation with your favorite hosts or shows anytime. Find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Share your thoughts on our social media channels wherever you are, whenever you want. The Civic Media Network of local radio stations here for you.
Now, let's get back to exciting Rafters baseball here on WFHR.
Bottom of the first inning coming your way from Madison, Wisconsin, as the Mallards are hosting the Rafters for the first of three straight games at the Duck Pond. In the bottom of the first inning, it's still tied at zero. Rafters couldn't manage a run. They saw four batters step up to the plate, but three outs there. The only batter who reached was Ashton Zacher with a two-out walk. And still no strikeouts for Tyler Guerin, but hey, he didn't need to. He still looked great out there, and he is now allowed just one earned run, one run in total, over 16 in a third innings. He has struggled a little bit with his walks comparatively. He's now issued 12 walks over those 16 in a third innings, but he's struck out 20 batters, so I don't think he really cares. And I don't think any Mallards fans would either, as Jimmy Anderson leads off for the Mallards. It's a righty-righty matchup. Anthony Mateo on the mound. He has the first pitch hit the outside edge for strike number one. Moves to an 0-1 count. Anderson, the right-handed hitting shortstop for Madison. He enters this game batting 383. The pitch misses inside and gets close to Anderson, but he bounces out of the way, and the count moves to 1-1. On deck, Liam Moreno in the hole. Mikey Bell, that's who's due up in the bottom of the first for the Mallards. The 1-1 count is hit over to shortstop. Eric Parker's there. He'll throw over to first, and that one's there as Matanaco picks it up for out number one. 6-3 on the putout, and there's one up, one down as the Bat Dog goes and picks up the wood from Jimmy Anderson. Always fun to get to see Bat Dogs out there. That's one of my favorite things. Always love seeing those Bat Dogs. He's just having a good time down there on the turf field. Drops the bat off and heads back into the dugout. It's one out. Base is empty in the bottom of the first inning. Liam Moreno up to the plate. He's a right-handed hitting left fielder. Still tied 0-0 in the bottom of the first. The breaking ball misses low for ball number one. It moves to a 1-0 count. And Moreno, another great batter for the Mallards, batting 330 on the season with 14 RBIs. This pitch is fouled back, brings it 1-1, so back to an even count. And looking a little further at Anthony Mateo, he's a junior from the Alabama A&M University. And this season, it started off a little rough, but he certainly has dialed it back in over his last two starts. As this pitch is a flare toward shallow center field, Eric Parker trailing back and makes the catch right behind the middle of the infield for out number two. And it's great to see Eric Parker really picking it up defensively here. He did struggle a little bit on the defensive side in his first couple of games, but yesterday he was errorless and made a couple of nice plays. And today, so far, he's 2-for-2 on putouts. Great to see from the guy from the University of Georgia after he has still continued to be a strong part of the team offensively, and it's just looking to bring both sides together. The first pitch to Mikey Bell in there for strike number one. Breaking ball dropping from Anthony Mateo, and man, Mateo, he has looked good. This one hit over to shortstop. Parker is not able to pick it up this time. It gets on by into left field. And so there is what I was talking about. A couple of times that's happened to Parker, and after he started off the game with a couple of putouts, that one gets on by him, but it's going to go down as a single. Not an error for him, but one that would have been a tough play to make had he gotten it, and the runner stays on first base. So Mikey Bell, a two-out single. It's the first hit of the game for either squad as Anthony Mateo. Thought he would have gotten out of this. It's time. It's hit to the right side of the middle infield, into center field. Picked up out there. It's thrown over to the shortstop, Parker, who cuts it off on the way to third base, and they are on the corners with two outs in the bottom of the first inning. Back-to-back singles from the Mallards, and they are threatening to score and take the lead early in the game. Brings up Davis Hamilton with two outs, runners on first and third in the bottom of the first. Still, it is 0-0. Left-handed hitting designated hitter. First pitch from Mateo is in there for strike number one. It moves the count 0-1. On deck, Nate Voss if it gets there, but Mateo hoping to work out of the inning here. And like I was talking about for Mateo, he's been certainly bringing it in as this one's hit towards left field. It's dropping, but there is Royce Clayton Jr. to make the catch. So a very efficient first inning despite the pair of hits. No runs on two hits, no errors, and two left on base. It's still 0-0 heading into the top of the second here on WFHR Wisconsin Rapids.
Hey, baseball fans, are you ready to swing for the fences in your career instead of warming the bench? By joining Skyward's award-winning team, you'll put education technology solutions into the hands of school leaders who serve over 7 million students around the world. Innovation, collaboration, and fun are all a part of the Skyward culture. So what are you waiting for? Step up to the plate and apply today at www.skyward.com/careers.
Score special rebates on a new AC this summer at Comfort Air Heating, Cooling, Fireplaces, a proud partner of your Wisconsin Rapids Rafters. Right now, you can upgrade to a brand new Bryant air conditioner and get up to $1,650 in rebates and rewards on qualifying models. Comfort Air has done whatever it takes to keep your friends and neighbors nice and cool for more than 25 years, and they can do the same for you.
Hurry! This offer is good until the end of June. Get started now by visiting comfortair.biz. That's comfort, AIRE.biz.
Adoption of teens from foster care is a topic not enough people know about, and we're here to change that. I'm April Dinwiddie, host of the new podcast, Navigating Adoption, presented by Adopt US Kids. Each episode brings you compelling real-life adoption stories told by the families that live them with commentary from experts. Visit adoptuskids.org/podcast or subscribe to Navigating Adoption, presented by Adopt US Kids. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Administration for Children and Families and the Ad Council.
Let's get back to the ballpark and more Wisconsin Rapids Rafters baseball on WFHR.
Into the second we go here from Madison, Wisconsin. It's the top of the second, still tied 0-0, and the Rafters getting their second look at Tyler Guerin as he went through that first inning scoreless, allowing just one walk, but it was a more efficient first inning from the Rafters starter, Anthony Mateo, threw just 11 pitches compared to the 17 from Tyler Guerin. And this is similar to what we saw yesterday from the Rafters. Seth Spencer was able to go a little bit deeper into the game than Michael Yeager, despite Yeager allowing no hits through his five innings. However, it still didn't end up going the Rafters' way, as Spencer did allow the two runs, and that was before handing it off to the bullpen. Even just the one run that he allowed in the beginning would have been tough to keep it in the game. The Rafters did manage to score one in the bottom of the ninth inning, but they left the tying runner at the plate with a guy on first base that could cut it to a one-run game. Here in Madison today, the Rafters looking for their eighth win of the season. They currently sit 7-15 on the year, and they've got a lot to work back in the standings, and so they are going to be hoping to get that offense rolling along. It's been a little bit cold against the Mallards here, as Tyler Guerin is not going to be any easier to hit off of. Top of the second, it'll be Madunio, Acco, and Guerrero due up. 5-6-7 in the order. And Andre Madunio, the right-handed hitting designated hitter. It's a righty-righty matchup. The first pitch is on the outside edge, called for strike number one. And Madunio making his return to the lineup, and it's been much anticipated as he's played just two games for the Rafters before he was previously injured, and he was really good in those games, as this pitch is a strike to Madunio to bring it 0-2. And he recorded a hit in each of his two games. He had a two-run shot in his first game as a Rafter. The second game, it was a 2-for-3 game with two walks, as this pitch on the lower part of the strike zone to be called for strike number three caught Madunio looking, as it brings up Madden Acco to the plate with one out and nobody on base here in the top of the second, still tied at zero. And Madunio, you're still waiting to see his return. He did suffer a little bit of a minor hamstring injury earlier, and that was back on June 8th, and he was taken out of that game against Green Bay. And it's been 10 days since he's played for the Rafters. The first pitch here to Madden Acco misses a little bit north of the zone to bring it 1-0. The 1-0 count is fouled off the bat and towards the Mallards dugout to bring it 1-1. And Acco, the right-handed hitting first baseman for the Rafters, comes from Fordham University. 1-1 count on the way. It misses outside to bring it 2-1. And looking a little bit at the numbers from Acco on the season, he's been one of the better batters for the Rafters, batting 350. This one's hit up the middle and into center field. That gets down for a hit, showing off that batting ability right there after his 9-game hit streak was snapped just a little bit ago in yesterday's game. He's finally able to pick up a hit here, and it's a one-out single, the first hit off of Tyler Guerin here in the top of the second inning. Brings up Jack Guerrero to the plate with one out and a runner on first base, still knotted at zero in the top of the second. Guerrero, the left-handed hitting third baseman, it's a lefty-righty matchup. First pitch on the way, it's in there for strike number one. And Guerrero from James Madison University. He's previously played a couple of seasons in the Cal Ripken Collegiate Baseball League over his last two summers. Swings and misses at this pitch to bring it 0-2, and looking to stay hot here as, well, he had a pretty good last week prior to a minor injury to his knee that kept him out, but he returned for the last couple of games. This one fouled back, keeps the count 0-2, and Jack Guerrero, the beer batter here in Madison, and so all the fans, a lot of fans here in Madison, they've got huge numbers coming into the stands. 0-2 count with one away. It misses high for ball number one, and it's now 1-2. Guerrero, always a great eye at the plate. And that's one of the things that he likes to do, is just take pitches when he can. Although he did strike out once yesterday, he went just 0-2 in his pair of plate appearances. He's got a runner on first still. The 1-2 count is a swing and a miss. That's strike number three, and that's the second strikeout of the game for Tyler Guerin. Two outs in the top of the second inning. Keeps Madonako on first base and brings up Hiroto Kobayashi with two away, still in a tie ball game. Hiroto Kobayashi, the right-handed hitting right fielder from the rafters. It's a righty-righty matchup. The first pitch, this one is hit high in the air towards left field, a little too high though, and over there the left fielder Liam Moreno makes the catch for out number three. So another strong inning from Tyler Guerin, no runs, one hit, no errors, and one left on base. We hit the bottom of the second here from Madison, still tied at zero on WFHR Wisconsin Rapids.
You're listening to Wisconsin Rapids Raptors Baseball on WFHR.
Mornings on WFHR.
Nutella just announced its first new U.S. flavor in 61 years. The new flavor is peanut.
I could just see the boardroom, right, when they were doing this thing.
Oh, gentlemen, we have cornered the market on hazelnut and chocolate. We need something new.
Sir, how about we do peanuts?
Are you telling me you want to do something like peanut butter? That sounds revolutionary.
Brilliant!
Weekday mornings from 9 to 11.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. Environmental groups say the Midwest grid operator, MISO, is pushing an emergency energy plan that discriminates against wind and solar, the two cheapest ways to produce energy in our state. The plan favors fast-tracking construction of gas-burning power plants at the expense of clean energy projects. The Federal Energy Regulatory Commission rejected a similar plan from MISO last month, but environmental groups say this one is even worse, with few guardrails to ensure fossil fuel projects are actually needed. Once again, Wisconsin had the biggest wild turkey season in North America. More than 50,000 wild turkeys were harvested in our state this spring. The Department of Natural Resources reintroduced the birds into our ecosystem in 1976 and has been managing the hunt ever since. For a deep dive into Wisconsin's most pressing environmental issues, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, back to more Wisconsin Rapids Raptors baseball on WFHR.
Still nothing on the scoreboard. It's the bottom of the second, and Anthony Mateo back out to work after he had a rather efficient first inning. Despite allowing the two hits, he threw just 11 pitches to get out of it scoreless. And that's what you want to see. You want to see efficient innings, and that's of utmost importance for the Rafters as they try and get these starters deeper and deeper into games. The first pitch to Nate Voss is in there, called for strike number one to bring the count 0-1. It'll be Voss, Kosciuszko, and Brock Lulewicz to start off the inning. This one, a high fly ball out to left field. Royce Clayton at the warning track. He'll take a couple steps in and make the catch for out number one. And sure, a little bit of good contact there, but the Rafters get the out, and that's what's important in that case. Cole Kosciuszko stepping up to the plate. He'll be followed by Lulewicz, and already one out, bases empty in the bottom of the second, 0-0. Anthony Mateo looking to keep blanking the Mallards, and you talk about good pitching performances and going deeper into games. Yesterday, Seth Spencer's 5 2/3 innings, that was a season high for the Rafters, as the first pitch to Kosciuszko misses outside for ball number one. It's a 1-0 count. Kosciuszko, a left-handed hitting first baseman for the Mallards. It's a lefty-righty matchup. The count is fouled down the right side of the infield towards the backstop, and count rolls to a 1-1 count. Kosciuszko up at the plate, hoping to do some damage here as Anthony Mateo has yet to record a strikeout, but hasn't needed to, and honestly, maybe better that he hasn't. It's allowed him to go very efficiently so far. 1-1 count. Gets a swing and a miss here, though, and he's just